Welcome back to the Noise Cancelling Podcast, the only podcast on the internet that gathers up three of the greatest tech and entertainment and gaming journalists from all over the internet to talk about the last 7 days in tech, and more specifically, one tech or gaming topic. This week, E3 is just around the corner, so we're going to be chatting all about E3. But first, let's find out who's on the podcast this week. Cherie, kick us off.
Hi, I'm Cherie L. Smith, editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag.
Hi, I'm Vic Hood, gaming editor of Tech Radar.
I am Adam Majestica, senior gaming writer at Tech Radar.
And I am not Gareth Beavis. He is taking a well-earned holiday. But I am Matt Phillips, podcast and video producer at Tech Radar. And I will be taking you through the wonderful Noise Cancelling Podcast this week. And as always, we will kick off with our big question so you can get to know the guests that we've got on this week. Of course, all returning guests. You know all of these guests anyway. It's good to have you all back. But as I said, we're chatting all about E3 this week, and E3 is notorious for big video game announcements that don't always necessarily land perfectly. So I want to know what your favorite, worst, or awkward E3 moment was. Adam, I'm coming to you first then. You got to kick us off, mate.
Basically, the worst E3 announcement I've still seen. And I just watched it back before this just to... And it was like I was there yesterday. It's so bad. But basically, it all centers around when Microsoft revealed the Kinect, which was originally called Project Natal, or Natal, or whatever it was called. And everyone was really excited, and it looked really cool and interesting. And there was one game they showed up called Kinectimals. It involved a little girl coming on stage and interacting with a tiger cub. And not only did she interact with it using the power of Kinect, but she even feigned being licked by a virtual creature. She played jump rope with it. She did hide and seek. And it's literally the worst thing I've ever seen. Like, just, it was called Skittles. The tiger cub was called Skittles, and she's there being licked by it, going, "Oh, Skittles, please. Oh, that's enough Skittles." It's like, ah. Oh. And that just sums up Kinect in general. Just the amount of smoke and mirrors behind that device was just unreal. And I think in the same conference, it also gave us that amazing moment where we got to see the bottom of an Avatar shoe. And it was Kudo Tsunoda at the time, and he lifted up his leg and he went, bam, there it is. And the avatar just started freaking out on screen. And that's when we knew, like, Kinect wasn't going to live up to expectations, but yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how we would look back on that now if Kinect had taken off, right? If everybody loved Kinect, we were using Kinect in the home all the time.
It sold well. It definitely sold well, and it was some nice ideas, and even Kinect 2.0 had its qualities. Like, I like the voice recognition tech and stuff, but yeah, the amount of bully, should we say, on this PG podcast was a lot. There was a lot. You could smell it a mile away.
It was supposed to be the future of gaming, though. We're all supposed to be using our Kinects now to scan our skateboards into the game. Yeah. That was a thing they promised. You'd be able to hand virtual characters sketches that you'd made, and they'd be able to comment on your sketches.
Oh, I love
there
that
was,
bit, yeah.
There were so many things that were touted with the launch of Kinect that never came to be. R.I.P. Kinect. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Cherie, kick us off then. What is your favorite worst E3 moment of all time?
I wasn't there to witness this, but I did watch the video when it came out. Sony's Wonder Book.
Good one.
This was supposed to be Sony's first venture into AR, and it was supposed to use the Move controllers, which we already know was a bad move. This poor woman gets on stage, and she's supposed to be flipping through this book and interacting with these magical, mythical, whimsical AR creatures, and it just did not work. It refused to work, and it was a total flop, to the point that I think Wonder Book actually did come out, and, you know, and it was never heard from again. It kind of was like Judy on Family Matters when she went upstairs and she was never seen again.
It's a running theme, right, of like brand new tech, brand new exciting tech. If it isn't perfect, let's not show it off on stage, right? Let's not throw somebody in at the deep end and have it wig out on them. We've seen it from companies like Apple and stuff as well, when they were trying to show off FaceTime, I think, for the first time, and it was just terrible, and they asked everybody in the auditorium to turn off their Wi-Fi like it would help. I love that so much. Vic, come on then, blow us away. Worst E3 segment of all time.
So mine isn't like a big one. It's just one that upsets me greatly for a variety of reasons. God. So it's the battle it was for a game called Battle Tag. And
you remember this?
It was Joel McHale from like Community. And he hosted the segment, and it started with like all these, like what he kept calling models, running down through the auditorium. Essentially, what Battle Tag is like laser tag. So they're running through the auditorium playing it, but also Joel McHale is just Joel McHale, and he just is the most condescending host you could possibly have.
Sure.
So he's, yeah, keeps making fun of them for being models, and then him and the creator are trying to run around playing this like battle tag, laser tag game hybrid thing, while Joel McHale clearly is wondering why the hell he's there, but also being a bit of, you know, bit of a douchebag.
Sure.
And it's just horribly awkward, and I don't know if it's just because every time Joel McHale's in any game related stuff, it automatically becomes awkward, but that's probably, it's up there on the worst the worst ones for me, one of the ones that I remember.
Definitely, definitely. And we keep coming back to that word awkward, and mine is equally awkward. I think when they showed off Wii Music and had Miyamoto and several other Nintendo employees pretending to play musical instruments through their Wiimotes, and that you would be able to play musical instruments through your Wiimotes at home as well. And it
that
was
the
just...
best. The drummer especially was unbelievable.
Exactly. They were really into it, and you could tell that they, you know, they were going to say, well, if we're going to look be up here and look stupid, we may as well absolutely go for it, fully commit. And I respect that wholeheartedly. But Miyamoto is a bit of an industry icon, legend, hero to some people. And to see him up there, given it is all playing a fake, I think he was playing maracas or something.
Yeah, the Wii let him down a few times as well, because when he showed when they showed off Skyward Sword for the first time using the Wii Motion Plus, that just epically failed on stage.
Yeah.
And again, he's such an incredible, incredible person. And his, you know, Skyward Sword, say what you want about it. It's okay game, not the best one I've played in the Zelda series. But to see that happen to him, like, there's nothing he could do. He's just flailing around. Oh, it was
watching an icon fall.
Yeah, it was.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like seeing someone fall over by the pool really hard. You just feel sorry.
It'd be
for
like
him.
Watching David Bowie shopping in, like, Primark. That's
he'd make it work though, wouldn't he?
Just doesn't feel right. Absolutely. I think I'm going to give the points to Adam. I remember loving the Kinect when it was originally shown off. It had so much promise. I wanted it to work so much. What was your favorite Kinect game, Sheree?
I actually was not using the Kinect for gaming, because that just wasn't it wasn't
possible.
Working. But Kinect Fitness was surprisingly good.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
And I thought if they could have done that, especially once we got to the Kinect 2 with the IR sensing and like the and the temperature checking and all of that, if they could have done more of that, I think Kinect could have had a better shelf life.
I went with the Xbox Fitness one on the Xbox One, and that used Kinect 2, and that worked really well. Not always. But that was super impressive. And then, unfortunately, along with Kinect, they shut that down and then refunded everyone. So I got all the programs that I bought back, which was kind of nice.
Well, I didn't realize they'd refunded people. What were you going to say? Sorry, Vic.
I was going to say Dance Central was my jam for. Mm. That's the one. I think I still maintain that that's good. And won't be as good as it was on Kinect unless something similar comes out. But I played that religiously for some time until I learned all the dance moves to Beldevo's Poison, and and that's the one. This all the other games were like trash, but that's the one that I was like, no, this actually is the best use of this equipment. But yeah, obviously the rest of it didn't do enough to actually hold it up.
I remember pulling my groin playing Kinect Sports 2, and there was a football game, and it was actually good. Like, Kinect Sports 2 actually was pretty, I think it was Kinect Sports Rivals, that's what it was called, wasn't it? Made by Rare, and there were some good mini games in there, but the football actually was quite responsive. But if you are kicking a ball which doesn't exist in the air, and you have to, you know, kick it quite powerfully, you're going to hurt yourself. And by the time I came off it, I was like, I've literally ripped my groin. It was awful.
All right.
What lie did you tell people? Because there's no way that you're telling people, oh, I pull my groin playing kicking imaginary an invisible football.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I think I just said I had. Yeah, a half form or something. Walked
just aggravated an old sports injury.
That's it.
It's too gruesome to share with you. Just
fantastic stuff. Well, like we say, E3 is just around the corner, and also just around the virtual corner of this podcast is the Gadget Hall of Fame. What a segue. That was terrible. Nice. This week we have Cherie. Now Gareth is away. I can let Cherie into the Gadget Hall of Fame finally to submit something. Going up against Adam, you're each going to submit one thing, and one thing's going to go in the dumpster, and one thing is going to get pride of place in our gadget museum. So, Cherie, I'm going to come to you first. What are you submitting into the Gadget Hall of Fame?
It is a from Microsoft, a gadget that was before its time.
Kinect 1.0.
No. This shout out goes to my beloved Zune HD.
Okay. You got to sell me on the Zune, because nobody bought a Zune. So.
And they were woefully wrong. It was above its. It was ahead of its time. It introduced people to subscription music. Having a device with an HD display, a device with apps, like this is the precursor to a lot of phones and Apple Music, Spotify, all that good stuff, and it was attractive. Like I lost and broke so many of those, and I still have one. I still have one that works. I could charge it up and all of that. And it was the precursor to a lot of great things, and it just did not get the credit that it was due, because of course Apple came along and was like, Apple Columbusing, and everyone forgot about it, and it was a big joke. I'm like, okay, like, yes, I had an iPod classic. I had the massive big boy, and I did love it, but I'm like, but this has like games and designs. I can change the screen to the wallpaper. I can actually play games with it, and all I have to do is pay $9-$10 a month, and on top of that, they would let you keep two songs. So in addition to being able to listen to all that music you had, they would let you keep two songs a month, no strings attached. So it was a very good deal, and it was ahead of its time, and woefully, you know, people just laugh about it and make it the butt of jokes, but it was, I think it was phenomenal.
Yeah, ahead of its time indeed. Why do you think then it didn't land with people and the iPod did?
Because Microsoft and its crappy media and press outreach. Like, I liken it to when Microsoft was like, soon all this will be always connected device, and people were getting scared and upset, and Microsoft's position was like, let them eat cake if they cannot connect all the time, and like, so there was this big uproar, and they took the functionality away only to bring it back because it is always on. Like, we've settled into that. Like, it just was a crappy way of presenting it, and Microsoft needs to get better. I don't know, but like, it just did not get the buzz or love that it deserved.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Microsoft has this thing, right, where its brands aren't considered cool. I think Xbox is the only one that is now considered cool, right? Nothing from Microsoft is cool, and when you're going up against Apple, difficult place to be in.
But it's not for lack of Microsoft trying to shoot itself in the foot. Like, hey, we've got this really cool thing that we've got going, but we're going to talk about it in the most asinine, back-assward way possible and make you hate it and boycott it, and we're going to backtrack, and then we're going to roll it out anyway, and then you're going to find out that, oh, this is actually good.
You must work for Microsoft, because that is literally that is their strategy so many times.
I'm so tempted to just give you the automatic win, so that Gareth comes into the museum and sees a Zune and pride of place. He will be fuming about that, I'm sure. Adam, coming to you then.
Do it.
Adam, coming to you then. What do you want to put in?
Speaking of the Zune, though, quickly, I was always fond of that device, and I think there was like a Halo one. And if I could have owned that. Yeah, there was. If I could have owned that, I would have been one happy boy. But no, I have to give my Gadget Hall of Fame nomination to my humble Sega Mega Drive. It was the first console that I properly owned, or was given to me, should I say, because obviously I didn't have a job when I was like 7. Come on. And it basically kickstarted my love of gaming. It's the reason I'm on this podcast. It's the reason I do what I do. If it wasn't for Sonic the Hedgehog and Aladdin and so many amazing Mega Drive games, I must have had about, I would do anything to get a Mega Drive game when I was younger, literally. Like, I'd start propositioning my parents, like, oh, does the garden need to be mowed? Does, you know, should I clean some cars? Or do I need to go to the dentist, have some teeth removed so I'm really brave and I can get a game afterwards, maybe? Honestly, you know, the amount of times I spent in the back of my mum's car just reading manuals on the way home, preparing to play next game. I love that console, and I was absolutely obsessed with Sega, so much so that I still want a Dreamcast 2. I still think it's one of my favorite consoles of all time, but yeah, the Sega Mega Drive for me has to go in there, because without it, I don't know where I'd be. I don't know what I'd be doing. I'd probably, I don't know, be some sort of very, very tired lawyer or something. To me, you know, I have a law degree, but managed to, you know, divert course from that very quickly. But yeah, I love that console.
Yeah, unfortunately, Sheree, Adam's story is basically the exact same as mine, so I feel incredibly biased picking between you two. Sega Mega Drive was my first console, Sonic the Hedgehog, Mickey Mouse's Castle Illusion I was obsessed with as a kid.
Such a good game.
Golden Axe is mine.
This is not an either or. This is a both.
We could just put them both in?
Why not both?
Yeah. Gareth can't stop us. He's not here.
We're running out of virtual space in the virtual museum. Only one can... Oh, no, no. You know what? Yeah, screw the rules. They're both going in. Yeah. They're both incredible. The Zune, I think the Zune can have pride of place so that Gareth can see it when he walks in next week and get like,
I'm going to bring it on with me because it's literally on, it's on my shelf. I could grab it right now, but I'm scared of waking the demon Furby, so I won't right now.
I was going to say, is if you want a Master Chief Halo Zune, Adam, I'm sure you'll find one on eBay for like a fiver.
I only make terrible impulse purchases as it is. I don't need to be spending my money on Zunes.
No, just send Gareth the receipt. He'll reimburse you and you can review it for Tech Radar 15 years later.
Oh, it's like that, is it? Then absolutely. That's I'm going to go on there right after this show.
That's exactly how it works. Awesome stuff. Well, then moving on, like we said at the start of the show, E3 is just around the corner. All of the big players have announced that they're going to be holding press conferences pretty much between the 10th of June to the 14th-ish of June, but there's stuff going on pretty much all summer. And so I want to hear from our guests. Sheree, coming to you first. Tell me about your first E3. What year was it? What was announced? What was the big deal? And was it as exciting as this year's E3?
I do not remember the year of my first one. It just, because time just starts to, you know, fold in upon itself after a while. I do remember, like, I had to scrape and beg and plead and make a case to get the E3. So when I finally got there, it was the most, it was just like literally like Willy Wonka. It also set the precedent for me of like, we go to Xbox first and we scream and we get all excited and what have you. And then Sony's like, but wait, there's more, and just demolishes all that goodwill that Microsoft built up. It's like, but this, and this. I think because I can't even remember the year.
Just give me your most hype announcement that you were there for then. What was the most exciting thing that you were there for live? Oh, no. Oh, no. This isn't going to be good.
Oh my God. So ironically enough, it was the first showing of Final Fantasy, like when they were like, yeah, we're going to bring back Final Fantasy. We're going to do it. Like, and everybody, because there was this hush, and then like the music started playing and all the nerds just started, oh my God. Oh my God, it's happening.
Start
I'm like,
crying.
What's happening? And then like the video starts playing. I saw a grown man cry. I saw a grown man stand up and like, finally, it's finally happening. and let me be clear, I love Final Fantasy VII. It's one of the, like, if somebody asked me what game really shaped your mind, your career, whatever, as a gamer, Final Fantasy is in that top five, Final Fantasy VII. But the amount of emotion people were giving, especially grown men, and screaming and crying and yeah, like I'm like, all the objectivity that was supposed to be the press just went out the window. And I was just like, wow.
So Vic, tell me about your first and last E3.
I did E3 2019, and actually I was a similar experience to Sherry in that I went to the I was there for the unveiling of Final Fantasy Remake.
Yeah.
And it was like a pretty small, like, not even like a hall, I don't know. It looked like a slightly larger cinema, but they had put like all the players and people up in like the back away from everyone else. And when you looked up there, you could just see a wave of emotion of all these people like cosplaying, like going mental up in the back of the room. When it was just like a screen that was like the Final Fantasy VII screen where it was like continue and the little sword went down and they lost it. They just lost it. But my favorite one was I was there for the Keanu Reeves the Keanu Reeves moment. And it was this, I was saying, it was like, it was one of my first big ones. And it was one of those where I was like, this is great. And I loved that Microsoft conference because there was, you know, they showed Halo Infinite properly for the first time. When they played the music, I cried because it was just like, I've made it. I've made it. This is it. I'm hearing it. But the Keanu Reeves one was great because it was kind of a, you knew something was happening and then you could hear like people like fidgeting and then a slow like people starting to lose it from the front back. And I'm so short, I can't see when everyone stands up. So everyone's like standing up and I was like, it's happening. It's not happening. Is it? He's not actually here. I was like, no, wait, I'm at E3. He is actually here. He must be here. So I can't see him because everyone's standing up and I'm too small. So I just know he is in my vicinity and I can feel Keanu Reeves is near, but I can't see him because everyone's standing up. And yeah, once it all hushed down, it was just one of those where I was like, this is just everything that I kind of hoped it would be. Like, this is it's like Amza, it's like just that you've made it moment of being like, I've watched this online for years and now I'm actually here and there's Keanu Reeves. And he didn't call me breathtaking, but nobody can say that he didn't. Like,
couldn't see you in the sea of people that you're like a foot underneath, but yeah,
there's no specification that it wasn't me,
sure, 100%.
But it wasn't,
absolutely. And
yeah, it was just, I think that Xbox One for me, it was just that, yeah, just that all those years of having played everything and just that being the year that Halo was coming back, and that was the first like big Xbox game I played,
yeah,
and got really into. And it just all felt like it came right. Unfortunately, I wish Sony had been doing, by that point, Sony had stopped attending E3, so there was no Sony press conference. But I think Keanu Reeves more than made up for it.
It so could have easily gone the other way, right? With these like big celebrities coming out on stage. Like we were just talking about the most awkward moments of E3. Some of them are definitely big celebrities, not really knowing or understanding what's going on stage. Right? I remember James Cameron coming out and talking about the Avatar movie video game tie-in that he clearly had no idea what the video game was about. He just wanted to go up there and talk about his movie for 15 minutes at the Ubisoft conference. It like the Keanu Reeves one, he was clearly excited about being in Cyberpunk and kind of lifting that game a little bit with his stardom, but it so could have easily gone the other way.
I was going to say, I always think about that moment with Keanu Reeves, and then I think about how Keanu Reeves very stealthily then distanced himself after that moment, that Keanu Reeves just kind of disappeared after that and was no longer tied to Cyberpunk anymore. And that's the highlight. That's when we still had hopes.
Exactly, yeah. Cyberpunk has definitely had a troubled launch, for sure, to say the least. But Adam, I'm curious, which make a call then right now. Which celebrity is going to appear on a stage this year? Surprise, surprise, they're in a game. That's what I want to know.
It's going to show the fact that I don't follow celebrity culture as much as... A WWE wrestler is always a good shout. I know The Rock was there for the Xbox original unveiling, but...
Yeah.
I don't know, what celebrity? Probably someone I don't really know, like Post Malone or something, will just be there with the next Call of Duty announcement. Like, you can play as Post Malone, because of course you can.
It's not a bad show.
Why would anyone want that?
Yeah, never the good celebrities that we actually want, like we actually remember and are talented. But hey, there is a rumor that Tom Cruise is in Starfield.
Exactly what I was going to say. There's a rumor.
I can't see it, but he could be there.
Something else I don't want or need.
Really? It wouldn't surprise me, right? It wouldn't surprise me if Tom Cruise has seen what Keanu Reeves did with Cyberpunk and gone, oh, that's interesting. And there was some weird stuff tied to that rumor where Tom Cruise a long time ago had been tweeting about Oblivion and Fallout and that he enjoyed those games to some extent. So it wouldn't surprise me massively if he's, you know, some robot in Starfield.
There'll definitely be someone there who shouldn't be there. Let's put it that way.
Well, we're seeing so many people now. Like, look at Bryce Dallas Howard and, like, Maquette. And, like, it really is, like, it's not just Sean Bean anymore. For a while, it was just Sean Bean. I'm like,
he should have just stayed as Sean Bean. That's all we needed.
We just need Sean. And I don't think Sean Bean's been at an E3. Give the man his dues. Let him show up. Let him be there to announce Skyrim.
I think if he went to E3, though, he'd probably die there because he dies in everything he's in.
That's true.
So he'd probably die at E3 as well.
Yeah. You can't put him in the show. But yeah, no, you're right. And like Call of Duty is a great show, right? Because we've had, what was it, Kevin Spacey a while ago was kind of the villain of the Call of Duty game. And then Kit Harington was after
Then,
so Call of Duty... good at throwing around the money to get celebrities into their games. Who's hot at the moment? Who would you put in?
This is it. I don't know who's hot. I need people to tell me who's hot right now.
I know. I guess there's Rainbow Six is another one. Tom Clancy, because they had John Bernthal last
they
time.
Did. They
as
did.
As their big baddie. And at the minute, I don't think it's been announced who it is for Parasite. So it'd be someone like that, but I couldn't. There hasn't been movies coming out. I don't know who the hot action star is.
Ubisoft have stepped it up as well, haven't they, with Far Cry 6? You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I want Matthew McConaughey, but I bet...
I could see that.
All right.
I don't care what Matthew McConaughey's in, I just want Matthew McConaughey in something.
I want Adam Sandler in Call of Duty, I'm going to say it now.
I'm not sure the tones match up there, to be honest with you.
Oh, wiggity-doo, it'd be amazing. Just talking gibberish, he'd be an amazing villain.
But I think Far Cry is the most likely, isn't it? Far Cry's... the most likely to appear on.
It has to be a surprise announcement. It can't be somebody we know who's already in a big game showing up on stage. That doesn't count. That doesn't get people excited.
Yeah.
But we've also had casting news this week for the Borderlands movie. Is it Cate Blanchett is in it? Kevin Hart, I want to say, is involved somehow. Jack Black is going to be in it. So there's just now massive crossover between the movie and kind of traditional Hollywood space. Sheree, you look upset. You look upset about it. What's going on, Sheree? Are we not excited for the Borderlands movie?
I was until they put Kevin Hart as Roland. Like, if you are a fan of Borderlands 2, N1, you know that Roland is like this tall, dark, commanding guy.
As soon as he said tall, I was like, why have they picked Kevin Hart?
Exactly. And so everyone was just like, once that happened, I'm like, oh, they are just going completely off the rails with this. They are going to try to go comedic with it. I don't want that. Like, Borderlands is funny because it's irreverent, but like you still have those really cool characters that you want to identify with. Like, I think I forgot who they cast as Lilith. That's spot on, and I forgot who they cast as Dr. Tannis. That's also spot on, but the people are not happy with the Kevin Hart Roland thing. And once you say Jack Black, I think Jack Black is playing Claptrap. That kind of makes sense, but that also gives me a whole bunch of Jumanji vibes, and I don't want Jumanji in Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's Kevin Hart and Jack Black, isn't it? That's two of them. But Jamie Lee Curtis is in it as well, isn't she?
She's Tannis.
That's it. I was going to say, she's definitely a big... because it's one of those like who's who of like everybody's just jumping onto this, which is odd. Like, Jack Black one like makes sense, I guess. But I feel like, yeah, you're right. They're going to really lean into the comedy of it, which a bit like... Jumanji versus like new Jumanji, where the first had like funny bits, but it wasn't trying too hard. And if they try too hard, the thing is, Borderlands doesn't really try too hard.
Yeah.
Like, it just happens. And when the moments happen, they're well timed and it's dry and it's not all like slapstick.
Yeah.
Whereas it feels like this is headed in a way that it's going to try and, you know, boost that so much that it loses the actual essence of what that series is about.
It is weird. It's weird that I'm saying something like this, but like I'm vividly recalling in Borderlands 2 that Handsome Jack called his horse or his unicorn Butt Stallion and said it so convincingly, like, here, Butt Stallion, that you were just like, all right, like you chuckle, but it wasn't like, what?
It's Cate Blanchett is playing Lilith.
There you go.
That makes sense.
There you go. I think it's going to be an E3 full of kind of A-list celebrity cameos, because everybody's stuck at home. All you have to do is say, hey, Jack Black, record yourself on your phone saying something about the Borderlands. You're excited to be in the Borderlands movie. I think we're going to see tons of that stuff all the way through E3 this year. I wouldn't be surprised at all. But then I want to go around each of us then and give one kind of outlandish, crazy, it would cause you to rip off your headphones and go absolutely crazy, announcement that you want to see from E3 2021. And Adam, I'm going to come to you first. Give me a prediction. Come on.
I'm in two minds. Do I use my adult mind? Just like, you know.
No.
No.
I want the crazy prediction.
I think I've mentioned before, you know, I grew up with playing a lot of wrestling games. WWF No Mercies, WCW versus NWO. The N64 wrestling games were just the pinnacle for me. They were unbelievable. And they've never quite been the same. And, you know, I went to WrestleMania 35, which was like a bucket list thing for me, and it was absolutely amazing. And I don't watch it as religiously as I used to, but I still enjoy it. There is rumours that AEW, which I haven't really watched much of, but I know Jericho's in it, they're making a game which is basically going to be a throwback to the N64 games. It's by the same developers, AKI. I kind of really want to see that. I kind of really want that to be good. It's not going to blow anyone's mind, but if I can see someone show off a really convincing and really exciting and fun to play wrestling game, I know for a fact that I have so many people who would love to play that, and that would be great. But if I'm being honest, what I really want to see, what I really want, and I don't see why we don't have it now, and it has to happen one day, and I can't wait any longer, I want a new Conker. I want a new Conker.
No, you don't. Nobody
does.
I love
Conker's Bad Fur Day. So want. Yes, they do. Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Don't start him on Conker.
I think, Sheree, you would actually love Conker's Bad Fur Day.
You would love Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Oh, Conker!
Yeah, sorry. Conker, yeah.
Oh.
It's too many accents.
Too many accents. But yeah, I would love to see that cheeky ass squirrel come back, effing and blinding, doing all the stuff, you know. They could make it so, like, current as well. Just like,
no, they wouldn't. That would be... You want that? It will bomb. It will be Duke Nukem forever. You don't want that.
But I will be there as it bombs, just like I was there for Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. Just like I was there when they did that horrible announcement. They were like, Conker's back, but we're putting him in Project Spark to just kill everyone. But yeah, our new Banjo.
There's no way to recapture that magic now that we've started evolving and thinking about things that we say. Like, the way Conker can't happen the way that another 48 hours can't happen. The way another Blazing Saddles can't happen. Mm-hmm. It's not going to rock.
I still think if you have you'd obviously need a much better team of writers than you would probably get at most video game companies to pull it off.
And that's exactly why it won't happen.
Exactly. But if they did it properly, hey, you never know. I still think a giant poo singing opera is funny.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Let's just give me something along those lines. But yeah, I can't see it.
Also, I had no idea that you were such a huge wrestling fan. I knew I liked you. They have started...
Yeah.
They actually and you should watch AEW. It's awesome. And Impact. Like, AEW is doing a lot of cross-brand promotions. Like, Kenny Omega is just collecting all the belts. He's got four belts from different
He's
organizations.
So cool.
It's amazing. But they have started showing bits and pieces of the game. So more than likely,
nice.
we will see that at E3.
Yeah.
So I am excited about that. I guess
Sweet.
I'll go now.
Go for it.
In that vein, I want another Def Jam Fight for New York. Bring it back.
Yeah.
Give it to me, please. I don't care if you take it to Atlanta. I don't care if you take it to Chi. I don't care if you take it to LA. But I need another Def Jam. I need to see rappers just engaging in MMA and martial arts and wrestling moves for no reason but street cred. I need it. I
Such
want
a good
it.
Game.
I deserve it. and then, as always, Ubisoft, why, oh, why can I not have a Splinter Cell? Can I not have a new Prince of Persia? Can I not? And Capcom, where's my Unimisha? Where is it?
Well, I'll roll straight into mine then, because Sheree kind of almost stole it. I think we will see Sam Fisher turn up at the Ubisoft conference and everybody will get very excited, and then it won't be a Splinter Cell game and it will be like some sort of crossover. On a mobile game.
Like, Sam Fisher, mobile game. Sam Fisher in Brouhaha. No one wants that!
Sam Fisher in Ghost Recon Wildlands. It's like, stop.
Exactly. Everybody will be upset about it. Everybody wants a new Splinter Cell game at this point. Surely it's easy enough to bang one out that's good enough to just make a load of money, you would have thought. Come on. Even just a remake of, like, Double Agent or something. I don't know.
No remakes! New!
No remakes, yeah. Give us something new, goddammit.
Like, people, like, Ubisoft, people are literally saying, we will put money in your hand willingly if you give us new Sam Fisher. Okay, let's put him in Brouhaha. That's not what we meant!
It's an interesting one, right? Because everybody was sort of, well, I was crying out for a new Prince of Persia, right? Like, we haven't done anything with Prince of Persia for a while. And then, lo and behold, oh, they're working on a Sands of Time remaking the original Prince of Persia game. Fantastic. I'll take that. And then they show the trailer of it, and it looks like...
I don't want it.
Early generation PS3 game. And it's
just
like, what? How did that
make
happen?
A new one.
I agree.
Like, you literally have made Assassin's Creed. You mean to tell me that, A, you're going to bring out a remake that looks like that, and B, you're not going to make a new one? Just make a new one! Dear God!
It's perfect time for it, because then they can show off ray tracing, ray trace lighting for Splinter Cell. You know.
That would be good.
Makes itself, basically.
That would be good. Why don't we just make it? We'll just go make it, and this time next week we'll be millionaires.
Dear Ubisoft, why do you hate money?
I am kind of surprised that nobody else is really... I mean, you could say Hitman kind of does some Splinter Cell stuff, but nobody's really like come out with their own of kind of being like, well, if Ubisoft aren't going to make it, let's just make a Splinter Cell type game. I think, like I say, Hitman's closest we've come, but...
Like, give me another Siphon Filter.
Siphon Filter.
Yeah, give me something. Give me something where... I am just a stealthy spy, just snapping necks, taking names, and just stopping global conspiracies. Something!
Well, Vic, we're coming to you last then. Give us your crazy, outlandish, super hype E3 2021 prediction.
Oh, prediction? I've got a few, but I'm going to do the head versus, like, actually what might happen. So what I would... like to happen. I just want a good horror game, and I know Resident Evil's just come out, but I just want a really good new horror game. What I think the most likely is going to happen is we're going to get, like, Silent Hill will finally be those rumors will finally be confirmed, I'd imagine, this E3 is what I think.
That would get a lot of people excited, including myself.
The thing is, like, I never played Silent Hill. I'm one of those who would, like, wasn't allowed to play horror games as a kid, so I passed all this stuff. And then when I was an adult, I was like, right, get me in there. And I think, yeah, if that happens, then it means I can jump back in, get involved in that. But I also just like a brand new, like, actually good horror franchise. I don't know if it, like, when's the last time we got a good brand new horror franchise that's like the Resis and the Silent Hills that, like, I don't even know if it's possible anymore. Like,
yeah, Layers of Fear.
The Evil Within and The Evil Within 2 were
pretty good.
The Evil
Within's probably, yeah, they're probably the most recent.
They're the closest ones, but that makes sense because...
Yeah, because we're so desensitized now. Like,
yeah.
Like, I think Outlast is up there. Amnesia, Dark Descent, classics.
Yeah.
You know what? I would like something along the lines of Cabin in the Woods. I would like Cabin in the Woods to be a game.
Yeah, that would be so
figured
good.
Figure it out.
That's all.
You want, like, kind of a horror game that's maybe a bit tongue-in-cheek?
A bit smarter horror game, but, you know, it's not all... That's such a good movie just because it's, you know, it's so well thought out, and it's stereotypical on the surface, but as you go through, you just start to learn, you know, what's actually going on, and it's a case of, like, poking fun, but it's done so smartly. It's such a good movie.
Yeah. I feel like Until Dawn is the closest kind of analog perfect version of that that crossover you could get, really. Like, Until Dawn is probably my favorite horror game of all time. I'm willing to be proven wrong.
The Dark the Dark Pictures anthology is good as it stands.
Yeah.
But yeah, also on the opposite end of that, the most likely, well, depending on likelihood, I'd like to finally get a glimmer like a look at what next gen Sims is going to look like, mm-hmm. because I can't even fathom at the minute how that would get pushed further. And yep. I'd like to see, but it's very unlikely, what new time splitters would look like.
Yes.
I think that's, we're probably a bit early to see what time splitters actually is, right? But Sims is a really interesting one. You know, like, we've been so long without a proper new kind of sequel to The Sims, if you like. The interesting thing with The Sims, I think, for a lot of Sims fans is, you know, Sims 3, Sims 4 come out and kind of feel like a step down, at least initially. It's like, we don't have a lot of these features we used to have because they spend so much time on expansion packs and stuff.
That's the thing, is it's been monetized so much that it's taken away. Like, the Sims 4, you didn't have toddlers and stuff for a while, and, like, it feels like at the start, The Sims 2, that got pushed further, and then it started pulling back. And I don't know what the next logical step is, whether it's, again, to just, you know, narrow everything down but make it look better. But, like, what people want is the ability to go visit their friend's house, right? Like, an actual online...
Yeah.
part of The Sims that makes it almost a bit Second Life, but you're opening like such a can of worms there if you've ever played Second Life, that you do not want to have your nice Sims, you know, wandering down the red light district of The Sims.
Or do you indeed?
I could totally imagine like Sims 5 essentially being some sort of free-to-play model, where like the base game is free-to-play, we're going to launch it with a whole ton of expansions and stuff you can buy for your house and skins and this, that, the other, and it is very microtransaction-y. I could see that happening, it seems to make sense.
Build your own furniture from scratch in terms of like having a completely basic model, be able to create your own furniture and design it, and that is probably like without having to put all the stuff in your house, that you can actually, here's how you can make your own sofa, do what you want with it. But yeah, it's a hard one. They do need to stop monetizing everything so much so that we can actually, you know, have the basic stuff that's great. Because The Sims 2 was the best one out of them. And yeah, it just lost after that. So I'd like to see what the next gen of The Sims would actually look like. Just out of my own curiosity, really, at this point.
The thing that's just come up listening to all of our E3 predictions is, and this is the reason I love E3 so much, is there's going to be some amazing new IP showed off, right? IP that we never even knew we wanted and could become franchises of themselves. But there's so many games from the past which I'd love to see get a reboot or a revival. That's why I love E3, because you just never know. It's like Christmas Day. It's like having all your Christmases across your life, and it's like, do you remember this present? It's back and it's better than ever. Love it.
I have two things. So I have never been a Sims fan, but I am excited for a new Sims game just on the strength of what modders are able to do with it, specifically modders of color, because dear God, video games never ever have enough skin tones, have enough hairstyles, and I am actually watching, I wish I can remember her name off of the top of my head, but I'm watching this talented sim creator on TikTok, and she has basically made this whole soap drama, and I am addicted. The Sims are twerking. The Sims are pregnant. The Sims are sitting there getting in fights over cheating boyfriends. Friendships are like it's a whole thing, and I am hooked. She narrates it and everything. I'm like, yes, I didn't know I needed this or wanted this, but like, I am so incredibly floored by what, simmers of color have been able to do with the mods and stretch what the game was able to do to make a game that is truly representative. So I'm always excited for stuff like that. And back to the horror thing, I would like a game where you get to play as the monster. Like, I would like a Babadook game. Let me play as the Babadook.
I think part of the issue is so many, we need to move on from this, but keep chatting all day about E3 and video games in general. But part of the issue is, like, a lot of people have tried to do that, right? Like, I think back to Evolve, even, where you play the monster, you know, against four of your friends, or Dead by Daylight is probably the most recent sort of good example of that. And so I think, yeah, those games are out there. I think it would be interesting to have you play as a villain against AI, right? And it's more about how efficient maybe can you take out these characters that are running around the house, you know, as opposed to you hunting down your friends.
Yeah, it's like those things that I've always wanted a game or a movie that's just like the henchman, and the henchman is the protagonist, and you, and that's it. You're just like a non, like a character that nobody really cares about, but the whole thing is from that. I'd like to play Splinter Cell, where you're just one of the henchmen the whole time, and you're just waiting to get killed.
You're just a dude.
Just a dude, and you're going home, and oh god, Sam Fisher's gonna, you know, mess you up. But until then, you're just gonna get about your henchman duties.
Oh, that idea.
I would like a Venture Brothers video game, and I would like for there to be different arcs. You could play as either iteration of the Venture Brothers, Jonas and Rusty, or you can play as Dean and Hank, or you can play as Henchman 23, or even the Monarch. Like, I would love to play as Henchman 23 and just like watch him go from henching to like low key being a villain in his own right. I would love that game.
Just want to give some random props to the Wii U, but it was one of the first consoles to actually introduce that concept of like asynchronous multiplayer, where you played as a ghost in Luigi's Mansion minigame in Nintendo Land, and everyone else was going around with the little flashlights, and you had to get everyone, and everyone was like, oh, this is silly. It was great, and now everyone's doing it. GG, Nintendo, GG.
GG, indeed. The Wii U was dead on arrival. Come on, let's face it.
Don't start him.
Amazing, and that's the end of the conversation.
That is indeed the end of the conversation. We need to move on because we're running out of time. On to Beeville Trends with no Gareth Beavis this week. Just me instead, unfortunately. But this is a little game that we play where we try and figure out. It's kind of like higher or lower. Each week, different trending terms are given a score by Google. And you guys need to guess whether or not the previous term that I give you is more or less popular than the next one. And we're kicking off with Far Cry 6 gameplay getting revealed. Adam, very quickly, 5-second review. Are you excited for Far Cry 6? Did you enjoy that gameplay reveal?
I'm not a huge Far Cry fan, but I love that disc launcher that shoots Macarena disc. That looks amazing. And I like the look of this one in 5 seconds because it looks a bit more bonkers than the other ones. And I really think that's where it'll shine.
Sheree, you're upset about it. I've got to give you 5 seconds as well.
I love Far Cry 6. I love the Far Cry series.
I meant you're upset by Adam.
What do you mean? Like, you've got a game where you've got beautiful locations, you've got weird missions, you're decent, stable, like, the villains are always charismatic and weird, and you can kind of see it from their point. And this time around, they've got Juan Carlos Esposito. Gus Fring himself.
And that's going to be amazing. I just don't like Far Cry games for the fact that you begin, you've got all those things you mentioned, and then it's like, here's a billion things to do, and it's just like, give me a bit more structure and a bit more direction, because this is just busy work.
I am all about that. Like, it is very much like, ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, piece of candy. I'm with it. With it!
Well, whatever you think of Far Cry 6, it was certainly being talked a lot about this week, but my question for you guys is, was it being talked more or less than the Friends reunion?
Oh, less.
Less.
So, but bear in mind, Far Cry 6 scored a 78 on Google Trends. So,
I'd still say less.
Oh, snap.
So, you think the Friends reunion was talked less?
No, the Friends reunion is more. Far Cry less than Friends.
We're going higher. Friends reunion more, higher.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. The Friends reunion scored a 90. Two this week. Jesus. Has anybody watched it? Was it any good? Was it worthwhile?
I have.
No.
It's...
No. Why would I do that when Living Single exists? Why in the world? The better show, the show that they bit off of without all the creepy just negging. It's like, that show was horrible. It was horrible then. It's horrible now.
Yeah, I watched it because I was like, it's one of those where it was on so much that I watched it all the time and I know it inside and out. And then as you get older, you're a bit like, oh, they're bad people. But then I was like, I want to watch it and see what this whole thing's about. I hate James Corden. He's the worst. But it was just a bit it was fine, but it was awkward because they made them redo scenes, like scenes like the kiss, like the Rachel and Ross kiss. My favorite part of it is that since that Matt LeBlanc memes, like Irish Twitter has gone mad, and there's just memes of Matt LeBlanc as an Irish dad. And my dad does that exact sit down when we stop at my granny's for like 5 minutes. And, he's like, and that's the exact sit that he does, which is I'm only here. I don't want to open up my body language to let you know that I'm comfortable here, but we'll do 5 minutes. I get a cup of tea and we're on. And then it's followed by this, is then followed by the slap on the legs, right? We're going.
Yes, exactly.
And that is my favorite part of all of it. It has given Irish Twitter a lot of fun recently.
Well, there we go. Also in the news this week, it was rumors confirmed that 5 Need for Speed games were being pulled off the PlayStation Store permanently. RIP Need for Speed. The question is, was that rated higher in Google Trends or lower than the Friends reunion?
Lower. Lower.
Really? Is everybody that keen? Yeah, of course, you're all right. Absolutely. The Need for Speed's got a 33, but here's a slightly more difficult one for you. The Battlefield 6. Battlefield 6 is imminent at this point. We're apparently getting a reveal for it on June 9th. But my question is, were more people looking up Need for Speed on Google or Battlefield 6?
Battlefield
6. Higher, you're absolutely right. Only with a 36, though. So it was 33 to 36. Ooh. So it was tight this week. Between interest in Need for Speed and Battlefield 6.
This one could be interesting, then.
This one will be interesting indeed. And Adam, I want to come to you. Biomutant is out in the wild. People have been reviewing it, yourself included. Give us a quick 10-second rundown. Should people go out there and buy Biomutant right now?
I wouldn't go out and buy it right now, but if you want something that is just kind of off-the-wall bonkers and kind of reminds you of Xbox 360 games when they were at their purest, where developers weren't really afraid to do weird things, then yeah, I think you can have a good time. But yeah, if you're going into expecting it to be the next Witcher 3, then you're gonna be bitterly disappointed.
Well, there we go. I'm not sure anybody was expecting the Witcher sort of level out of this, were they? But anyway, it doesn't matter. My question to you guys is, was Biomutant searched more, is it higher or less than Battlefield 6?
I'm going higher.
I'd say lower, but the Battlefield 6 one has surprised me a little bit. I'm going to say lower.
Cherie, we're split.
I'm going to go lower.
Oh, that consensus has outweighed you, Adam. And unfortunately, they're wrong. Biomutant scored a whopping 80 this week.
80
indeed. But with Biomutant coming out and getting in gamers' hands, a game that is not yet in people's hands, but people are very, very excited about, is Horizon Forbidden West. This is the sequel to the massively successful PlayStation exclusive Horizon Zero Dawn. And this week, or last week, I should say, we got sort of 15 minutes worth of pretty stunning gameplay of it running on the PS5. My question is, were more people searching for Horizon Forbidden West this week or Biomutant? Higher or lower?
Lower.
Higher.
Yeah, I'd say higher. I hope it's Horizon Forbidden West against Biomutant.
Higher than 80? I'm going lower for sure.
Are we going lower?
We've gone higher.
Yeah, we've gone higher. I mean, sure.
Okay. So Biomutant scored an 80 and Horizon Forbidden West scored 60. Lower, Adam again, getting
I'm being dragged down here.
And losing points all over the place. Moving on then, so I've tried to keep them quite gaming focused this week, all apart from the last one pretty much, and the Friends reunion. But we're going to another video game now as well. Another one that's out and a lot of people are playing, Knockout City. Adam, you've been playing a lot about it.
Very fun game.
Vic, have you been playing a bit? Sorry.
No, I haven't played it yet. I'll probably try it out just because, you know, dodgeball.
It's a blast. If Nintendo made that game, people would be going absolutely, they would just be up in arms about how amazing it is. But it's not a Nintendo game. It feels like a Nintendo game, and it's really, really good. Please give it a go.
Yeah, I'll probably try it. I'll try it with you guys. But yeah.
Yeah, that would be good fun.
Because, you know, actual real life dodgeball, my body can't keep up. So this will probably.
Yeah, it's nothing like that, thank God.
If you could dodge a wrench.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel super old playing this game. My Twitch reflexes are just not there. I'm getting really destroyed.
Oh, I'm getting good, man. I'm getting good.
Maybe I need more practice. But the question is, did it score higher in Google Trends this week or lower than Horizon Forbidden West, which, remember, scored 60 points.
Tricky.
60 points. What do we think? Higher or lower, Adam?
Does it really matter what I say?
I'm going to go with Adam on this one, just because I feel bad.
Even though there's probably a lot of, like, putting on my SEO hat, a lot of search, right? I'm gonna go lower.
That's where I was gonna go.
Okay, Vic, do you wanna weigh in just in case?
I'll go lower with Adam then.
Pressure's on me now, though.
You are all wrong, unfortunately. No. Knockout City scored an 82. 2 this week.
Wow.
And then moving on to our final news story, not gaming related, but a big one for the tech world. I figured Google Photos unlimited free storage ends today, which was yesterday on June 1st. Here's what you need to do if you're worried about that. My question is, were more people searching for Knockout City or Google Photos this week? Remember, Knockout City scored an 82, so Google Photos higher or lower? Cherie, I'm coming to you first.
Lower.
Lower. Adam?
Higher.
Higher? You're saying higher, that they're split. Vic, you get the deciding vote here.
What was Knockout City?
Knockout City scored an 82.
I'm going to say lower.
The consensus is lower. Adam was the only one who went higher. And following the trend of this entire game, Adam was correct and the other two were wrong. Google Photos beat out the Friends reunion, scoring a 96 this week. People worried about not keeping their photos in online storage anymore. And that is the end of our show. Thank you so much for everybody to joining me. Thank you guys at home for listening. If you like this podcast, please do give it a like on whatever platform you're listening on or watching on. Give us 5 stars. Do all those things. You can find us on YouTube and Spotify and Google Podcasts and all the other podcast services you can imagine throughout the world. Thank you so much for listening and watching. Cherie, if the people want to find out more about you, want to hear your thoughts on the world in general, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at MissSmith11. That is M-I-S-S Smith. So 3 S's, not 4, not 2, not 1, but 3. And of course, you need to sassily over.
Love
to Laptop Mag and learn the latest about laptops, tablets, VR headsets, headphones, USB mics, and everything in between. And as always, laptop then, laptop now, and laptop forever!
Fantastic stuff. Adam, can you match the energy? This is always the problem with letting Cherie sign off first.
No, exactly. Cherie should definitely go last. Like, I can't compete with that. No, you can find me on Twitter at itsmrproducts. Also, you can read my work on techradar.com. And if you like Shiba Inus, if you like cute puppies, please head over to Instagram and follow Lily the Sheep Pup. She's there, she's waiting, and she's cute.
You won't regret that follow.
Or as they would say in Japan, kawaii.
She's adorable. I've done it. Join us.
And finally, Vic, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @hood_Vic. I haven't got any puppies. I'll put up some pictures of the garden I'm re-sewing at the minute, if you're into that type of thing. But no puppies here. Only good times.
No puppies, only good times. There are a shocking amount of videos of your dog, Adam, attacking you. So I'd agree with what Vic
Look,
had to say there.
Some say attack, I say aggressively play. You know,
sure.
They're
sure.
One of the same.
Sure. If you want to find me, you can find me at MattPVideo on all of the social medias. Let me know what you thought of the episode. Let me know your craziest E3 predictions. Let's have a chit-chat about it. I'm excited to see what comes of E3 this year. I know everybody who's joined me on today's podcast is as well. Thank you again for listening, and we will see you on the next episode. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.